again.
And go.
Oh, you get two.
I don't want digital television. I just want to go. I'd
like to call the meeting in order. We'll start off with the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mike, Celia, Mike, and Matt. Mike is listening. Public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board council about items within the jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name, address, and please spell your name for the record. Anybody got anything?
Quiet bunch, huh? Crickets.
Unless someone finds me, they probably shouldn't have to
talk. Approval of November minutes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, yeah. Done.
And now, approval for agenda for January.
Motion to approve.
Make a motion to approve.
Favor?
Aye.
From Creech. Metro. HP. Indian Springs Volunteer Fire Department. I'll do that one. It's been kind of slow this month. Always looking for members. Oh, yeah.
Assistant Santa delivering Christmas lights.
Yeah. Did you go in there? Huh? Are you there?
And we had the Christmas parade of lights, which was
The secretary for the fire department is in the back. She's got a.
No, we do the Christmas parade of lights, and it was the biggest we've had so far. We did the Santa delivery that was bigger, too, so it's growing every year, so that's a plus. We don't have anything coming up soon. The next thing we have as far as events-wise is the Warrior Competition, I believe, which is in Memorial Day weekend, as far as the fire department goes. We are already starting to gather donations for our 4th of July raffle. So if you know any companies or if you have anything you'd like to donate, we already have one donation given by Phil Frank. So we're already starting to collect. So if you have anything for the raffle, that would be great. Get with Cindy quick, as far as right now, she's in the raise your hand, mother. she's the one that's starting to collect them. So I think that's it as far as a bid for the fire department.
All right. Thank you.
Huh? Oh. For what?
$150 by E. Lee.
did that.
He took credit for that?
Yes.
Thank you, Laura. Very nice. We appreciate that.
The minutes will reflect. I donated that.
You get that as if you don't do that
tonight.
Dad gum, Dad. Another turkey, that's funny.
Clark County Parks and Rec.
All right, we have the knitters and crocheters Tuesday morning still at 10 o'clock. We have coffee talk on Wednesdays at 10. We have bingo on the, which was a huge hit this last month. We keep getting more and more people coming out for that, all ages. We'll be on the 25th of January, we bingo. And then we have our baseball program, youth baseball program coming up. We'll have more on that at the next meeting. We're looking for coaches for that, so if you would like to volunteer to coach or a ref or umpire, whichever the word is, I get confused, we are looking for volunteers for that as well. And that's through Clark County Parks and Rec. And I think that's everything as far as Parks and Rec.
All right, thank you. Indians Free School?
I just have a couple things, but I can't find. Tony will know this. Tony, what day next week is the play?
Is the what?
Tryouts, right?
What next?
The play is Tuesday. The tryout for the play is Tuesday.
Tryouts for the play. Yeah. I knew there was some big thing that
they're
I should
have. They're doing The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, they're
doing a bigger production.
Yeah. They're doing a production of Wizard of Oz, so you guys, everyone come out for that. That'll be lots of fun. And the only other thing, I had a couple phone calls today. A letter went home today because there was some trace amounts of lead found in one of the sinks at the school. It was found in one of the sinks in one of the rooms that is no longer used. It was tested all over the rest of the school, and it was in nothing else. So it has to be, I don't know, Dave probably can enlighten you on how that happens, but it's not in the groundwater. It's none of those things. But a letter was sent home, so I got a few calls. So I wanted to let you guys know that that's not something that has gotten to the kids. That's just something that is in that one room that will be handled. And Dave, are you going to talk about that?
I guess.
You should, because Dave obviously knows more about water stuff than I do. So
the reason why the most likely that was located in that one sink is either it was a false positive, which probably not, but because the classroom hasn't been used in I don't know how many years now?
It's been 7 years.
And how often is the sink probably being used in there? Probably never.
No, it's not used as a classroom. It's actually not used as anything but a storage room. And, they store things and sort things out. I'm surprised that there's even water, that they haven't just shut off the water to those areas.
Yeah, they should have.
They're shut off now.
Anytime your water sits in your pipes for an extended period of time, it just leaches everything out of the pipe and everything around it. Most likely the reading. So...
So that's what that's all about, just in case there seems to be some mass panic.
Water company tested all the water. We test it every year. No traces of lead, anything like that. So I don't know why exactly. The only thing we can come up with is the water's been sitting in the pipes for so long in that classroom, and they finally ran it and tested it. That's why you got the positive.
And again, the word classroom is being used loosely. It's not really a classroom. It's not a classroom where students are. It's a storage room where there used to be classes. That's all.
Thank you. High Desert Seniors? Clark County Administrator?
Okay. It's been forever since I've seen you guys. Last meeting, we talked about lots of concerns about the park. Issues that it was looking run down. So I took all of your concerns, everything that was shared at the meeting, and sent them to the head of parks maintenance. And his people responded very quickly from what I've been told. I was told like the next day there were people out here So hopefully you have seen some changes. Some of the things that were brought to their attention they weren't aware of. So if you notice any things that aren't working, if you see something broken, if you see something run down, rusty, anything that has concerns, please let Teresa know or let me know. And don't wait till the meeting. I think a lot of people come to the meeting and share. You can share with me anytime. I am very accessible. You can call me, you can text me, you can email me. Just go ahead and send it. And of course, you're welcome to come here and share it too. But I can get on it much quicker if you bring it here. So I think most of those things have been taken care of. It was quite a long list. But I think, have they fixed the light situation?
Yes.
So that was the one I thought was going to take the longest to figure it out. So it sounds like everything's good. So if you have anything else that hasn't been fixed, let me know. We'd also talked about the paving on Sky.
Yes.
Okay. And that has been added to their list of potential paving places. I know they've been out.
They've already pre-graded. They're almost ready to put down.
You know more than I do.
Yeah, they're almost ready to put down the paving.
I've got steamrollers going down that paving.
Super. Okay, well, there you go. So I'm done. I don't need them. So that was the only stuff I had to follow up on from last time. On the 24th, during Coffee Talk here at the Community Center, the election department will be here. And I realize that time of day does not work for everybody, but I had to find a time when the community center was open and the election department worked. But you may have heard that we're getting new voting machines. I guess I have not seen them yet, but I suppose it's like a big iPad, and it's very easy to use, but they want to roll that out to all the communities so that you can get the chance to come try them out and see what they're like before the election. So they will be here during Coffee Talk on the 24th. So if you want to come by, if you come to Coffee Talk anyway, they'll be here. If you want to come by, they'll be set up from 10:30 to noon. And I'll put that on the Facebook page, and it'll be for, I scheduled 6 days, I'm sorry, I keep forgetting where they're falling. So I'll put it on the Facebook page as a reminder. And I don't think I have anything else. We'll see if they have questions for me.
All right.
Right back at you. There you go.
Nothing under planning and zoning. General business. Receive information from a company that provides broadband internet. Ken Johnson, Executive VP, Broadband Business, Valley Communications Association, LLC.
I'll step up here. I don't know how this works. You're allowed to ask questions or not. But I'm Ken Johnson. Sure. So my name's Ken Johnson. I'm Vice President of Broadband Business Development for Valley Electric. And we, as probably most of you know, we last year got wireless rolled out to most of Pahrump. We're finishing up fiber in Beatty and should start installing those folks. Probably sometime next month we'll start. We also just got our BLM permit. So we'll be running fiber down to Sandy Valley and lighting them up in a little bit. Unfortunately, we've got a couple of roadblocks up in Mountain Springs that we've got to work through. So that's on our agenda. But Mason has been in touch with me for quite some time on a dialogue of getting fiber optics available in the community. Our CEO has made it clear he wants to be able to help as many rural communities get access to modern broadband as possible. So part of what I do, and Ryan Muccio here is our community liaison. So he pops around and visits, keeps a dialogue with each of our member communities and those that are maybe one degree of separation away as well. So we've heard the call for help for better broadband. We do have fiber optics available. I've always heard it referred to as Grandpa's Mountain. A little thing over here. So our transmission line that goes behind that, about 3 miles from here, has fiber optics on it, and we could use that to serve the community. It's a little bit expensive to tap into it. So a couple of things that we're here to do. First, introduce ourselves. In the packets that I have, and Mike also were instrumental in getting me organized to get over here tonight, so thank you. But there's a cover letter in there that says we're ready to start signing people up in your community. That is absolutely false. We're not ready to run service to it. So I apologize that couple of letters.
Do you have more to
pass it? Mike has them over there in the corner. Somebody that wants one. It's just an example of the services, some of the stuff that we're doing in Pahrump and Haiti. We're even up in Tonopah doing some things. So as part of our business development cycle, what we have to do is get out and start a dialogue because we need to make sure that there would be enough revenue to support the investment. So that's what we're kind of doing. We're starting that phase of it. So what we need to know is, you know, is there really enough demand here to pay for the investment? I think based on the size of the community property is, but we can't just guess at that. We need to have some factual stuff. So that's why even with Mr. Harvey and then talking with your town board representative to start that dialogue. So that's what I'm here to do, and that's what those materials are designed to do. But again, we're not ready to sign anybody up today. Our standard residential offering that you'll see the application in there is 25 megabits up, 25 megabits down for $50 per month. And that's a bulk of what we've sold in the Pahrump area and Amargosa, where we have the system up and running. We also do dedicated fiber optic stuff that you might, you know, have to the schools or libraries, municipal centers, that kind of thing, where it's, you know, 100 meg up to a full gigabit. And we are doing quite a bit with the schools in Nye County. And I'm allowed to say that because it's in the public domain. So one of the things that we would ask of the town board and Megan's help as well is it sounds easy that we're 3 miles away, right? Coming off the transmission line. Big question is who owns that land where we have to come down in the path to get over here to the town where we can put some electronics up to start lighting with that?
I can help you.
Okay, because if that's BLM, that's a BLM permit. If it's private land or if there are roads out there that have public utility rights of way, those kind of answers start to lower our hurdle and makes it less difficult for us to make the business case work. So we're excited to do that. The other thing I was mentioning, Mr. Harvey and you know, the town folk here, if you have some input as well, one of the things that we do for our wireless system is we use a 75-foot power pole that allows us kind of to do a tower without having to have guy wires and all the mess, but it's usually that's tall enough for us to have a line of sight. Because what we need to have is wherever we put the tower, anybody that's going to use that service from your roof, you need to be able to see the top of that tower. Trees in the way, or if there's a little ridge and you're on the other side of it, then we have to shoot to the other side with another tower to light it up. We can't have obstructions in the middle. So that's a little bit what we're working on. But so we're starting to look at where are some locations in town where somebody would give us a little section of ground to put this power pole in so that we could energize it and put the electronics up and start serving folks. So anyway, those are what we're up to. With that, I'll answer any questions. Did I miss anything there? All right.
Well, could you tell them what they can do to let you know how much
they want? Sure. So you could call the company is one thing, or better yet, because I tell you what, with everything we're doing with broadband in our service territory, we could get 1,000 calls a day. Probably what would be better is if you went to our website, which I think it's in the Digital Crossroads magazine here, or on the applications, it's valleycom.com. And if you just go there, there's an online application or an inquiry form, either one of those you can do, and then that'll get put into a file and we'll start building up the evidence of people that have made the request. And then we'll turn around and once I can get the business case to the C-level executives approved, then what we probably turn around and do is do a mailer to everybody in town and say, are you really ready to sign up? This is the price. And we start a real marketing campaign.
Today.
Well, yeah, so, but anyway, if you can go to the website today and talk to your neighbors, just, you know, as we start to see that rolling in, and then developers like Mr. Harvey, you know, also help because what they do is in larger chunks, so that it doesn't put it all on the average resident here as well.
And, let me give a little more input. I work with Ryan very closely down in Sandy Valley, and we're working on this. And we visited the other night, and I was able to share with him a lot of the things that are planned for Indian Springs, the casino, the Family Dollar, the apartments, and the subdivision, the single-family subdivision, so that that's on their radar now, because they didn't necessarily know about all those things.
Well, Mr. Harvey's done a great job of keeping us updated, but I got to be honest, it was difficult for me to come and have this meeting if we hadn't had the BLM permit for Sandy Valley, because there are electric customers, and if they get word that we're out, you know, cheating on them with another community, and they don't have service, it would not be good. So the fact that they got their BLM permit, and we've started that construction, now allows me to kind of turn the page and start talking about the communities.
Okay, sorry.
So Valley Communications Association is a part of Valley Electric?
Correct. So the way it works, and sir, I'm going to come back for your question.
All right, thank you.
I haven't forgotten about it. So Valley Electric is the mothership in a way. And then there's a couple of different LLCs if you read our annual report. So one of them is Valley Communications Association. So it's also a co-op, but it's a co-op owned completely by Valley Electric. So it kind of works this way. If you come to Pahrump or Sandy Valley or Beatty and you get electric service, then you pay a small fee and you become an equity owner in Valley Electric. Now you're actually a voting member of the co-op. However, if you're in Tonopah and you have a business and we ran broadband to it, or better yet, if you were somebody that rented a building like an office suite and your landlord is the one that pays the electric bill to Valley, they're the member, then if we sell you broadband, you get sold that through our subsidiary because you're not an equity owner. It's kind of confusing. So here, you would all be customers of Valley Communications, not Valley Electric, because you're not one of our electric equity owners.
So
but it's still the same company.
But so who is the base controlling force?
Valley Electric. We just have one board.
Valley Electric that is a co-op, so it's the owners of Valley Electric essentially.
Yes.
All the electric users in Sandy Valley are actually the owners.
Correct.
And the controlling force.
Correct. Not Wall Street.
Valley Communications.
Correct. Yeah, so they control Valley Electric. Valley Electric then controls Valley Communications.
And there's only one more question.
Yeah.
You know, the last mile, how do you get service from your...
But the wireless is what we would do first, for most of the residential over here, at least phase one. And that simply is we put up that 75-foot power pole. We put up to 16 radios on that, and then we divide and conquer. We only put about 30 people on that, and then what they do is come to your house and put a an antenna, basically, smaller than your dish or DirecTV dish. Mm-hmm. It's actually a little bit bigger than my hand. They just mount that on a pipe on the roof and run one cable in off you. That's what I have on my house.
How does that compare to, and that's what you have on your house, how does that compare to what we have now, which it's terrible. I really
well, you probably have DSL services,
you
my
have
guess. Yeah, it's probably 3 megabit. So our 25 megabit product is almost 10 times faster than that.
Will it not fade in and out all day long? Because that's
no.
what happens with ours right now.
No. Ours sucks.
And actually, I'll tell you, the way we engineer it is so that you can actually use all 25 megabit if you want to, or if you have enough teenagers watching Netflix and playing games.
Oh, they're not all teenagers. I have a 2-year-old that can beat me on a computer.
Yeah, it's just, you know, some people come to me, well, I gotta have 20 megabits, and I'm like, I don't have the time to use that kind of bandwidth, but... No, I'm just kind of teasing, but we engineer it so it's not oversubscribed, so it works really, really well. And if you talk to anybody over in Pahrump, they're thrilled with it. I have a 15-year-old. My wife has 5 different things that she's doing. And the other thing I'll mention is we're also now a telephone company, so we can do your telephone lines, do the business phone lines. We also have launched our cable TV product. We actually do that over the wireless with the internet. So my 15-year-old is playing video games, and we can be watching or taping up to 3 different shows at one time and he doesn't even notice.
Awesome.
Okay. And also, yeah, at this point, so we have run. We have no, there's no data caps,
right?
Which is another great
thing. And no contract.
And no contract and no installation.
Yeah. Can we
move
back over here first?
I don't even remember anymore. Never mind. Thank you.
Anyway, so we're again, we're in the collection phase, just trying to make sure that there really is demand, so we can quantify that, and we have to reconcile that to the expense, and then we try to move forward.
I heard you say you're going to put 30 on the power.
We do up to 30. So what we do is, you've got the power pole up here. We will use four different radios in any one direction. So we might have one, we prefer not to shoot that direction towards the Air Force Bay. So it might only be three directions. But what we do is put different radios on. So what you would have is 30 per radio. So 120 potential customers in any direction. If we only did the three directions, that'd be 360.
Would they be willing to put up more than one tower, though?
Oh, yeah,
because there's a lot more people than that.
Yeah, and that's part of what we're trying to figure out as well. How many, you know, occupied residents are there here? How many small businesses? And then we'll size it accordingly. Because again, what our CEO, Mr. Husted, has said is, if we're going to sell people a product, it better work and like it's advertised. And so he's been very adamant about that, even when it costs a little more money. He's really, and in Pahrump, we've got a lot of people, thousands of people, and it works like it's supposed to. And we've had times where we had to add a radio, and we just wouldn't add any new customers until we got that other radio in place. So we're not willing to just keep, you know, as other service providers are, just keep even more customers on, even though there's not enough capacity. We always make sure there's enough capacity, and if we don't have it, people are going to have to wait until we get it.
So the time frame, if everybody gets involved and gets on the web and registers in, what do you think the response time frame is?
That is the one question I am not allowed to answer today. My bosses are like, do not make any promises. The bigger thing, the reason I can't quantify that, well, let me say this. The construction to get from there to here, that time frame is probably 2 to 3 months. Because we don't know how much rock is in the soil or whether we can plow it, what the method is. We did 2.5 miles up in Tonopah recently. We ran into a ton of rock. That took us August, September, October, November, 5 months to go 2.5 miles up there with the boring rig, so it didn't make a huge mess. So we don't know. So I'd say, you know, if we run into some more sandy soil, not so much rock, could be 2 months, best case. And if we start that process, I would assume a tower would be stood up ahead of that or during that same time frame. So it's probably a 90 to 120 day phase from project start to having people in service. But it goes back to what I need Megan's help with, is who owns the land in between and how difficult is it to get permission to construct.
I'll be on that next week.
Once we have clear answers to that, then it's back onto us as to what we can do. But the cautionary tale of Sandy Valley, we had 19 months it took us to get the BLM permit for Sandy Valley. So that's why we don't want to make any, you know, prognostications here.
So maybe NDOT right away?
If there is NDOT right away, but if it's coming over the mountain, probably not. There's probably not NDOT right away.
So you have to head north and then maybe west?
Well, I think you want a direct route.
No. We wouldn't go over the mountain. So what we've looked at, and I get all confused because none of the roads are like north, south, east, west, anywhere around here. So you've got the little mountain. It's to the Las Vegas side of that. We actually have a splice point there. And I know there's on Google Earth, there's a little like Jeep trail or something, so I don't know if that's a real road.
We'll get together next week and we'll get it figured out.
But it's relatively straight, so it looks like somebody put it
there.
Does
it lead all the way up to the highway?
I know it leads up to town anyway, but I don't know if it goes all the way to the highway.
Okay, because there's one road that's the dirt road that leads from your power lines back there all the way out to the highway, and then there's one that leads to Old Bend, which is the old dump road that Yeah, I have no clue about
the direction. We'll work on it next week together. We'll look at the map.
But if there was some kind of NDOT right of way somewhere along the highway that went all the way out, but we want it to be as close to town as possible, because if we end up 2 miles that way, now it's a 5 mile go. Right? So it's, you know, we want to do direct, but if, you know, there's a lot of things to work out. But that's why I don't want to give any time frames, and we got to do a little research first. But, you know, again, it all starts with knowing that there's demands and people want it. Okay, I will take that back.
I do have one more question.
Yes.
You had mentioned small businesses, schools, public entities, hopefully being part of the need. So is it contingent on small businesses, public entities, especially schools?
It's more what we have to do is look at, okay, what's the aggregate cost to get from there in the town? What's the cost in the tower and all the electronics in the house? And does that come close to a break even? You know, what's the accountants look at? That's what it comes down to. Now, again, if Mr. Harvey says his apartment complex, there's 300 services there, and he needs fiber, and we can do the math, and that's a big chunk of thousands of dollars, that really helps. But I don't know that anything's contingent on anything else. It's just, once we get all the data figured out, we'll see, you know, the accountants will approve
that. So there's still no guarantee that you will come in, it still has to be approved?
Yeah, it would still need to be approved. So as I say, we're in the business development cycle now, is to gauge the interest. Then we have to reconcile that with the cost.
Right, I understand.
You know, and then the decision gets made. But I would say, don't be pessimistic, only because I know the, you know, our CEO, if we can figure out a way to help a rural community get modern broadband, and of course we do have transmission lines through here and service the base, so, you know, there are reasons for us to be a good community partner over here.
That's right, you do service the base, so hello. Just shoot some of them things over here.
You service the base through fiber optics, correct?
No, we just have some maintenance.
Oh, Valley Electric.
Right.
You don't do internet.
Valley Electric's trailer's right next door to my house. I'll be banging on
okay.
the door.
Okay, I took up way more time than I expected.
What would be the ideal location of this tower that you're talking about?
Some place that's relatively central and a reasonably high elevation. Because we want, again, for you, if you were standing on your roof, which don't do.
Not here.
If you had a contractor go on your roof and look, we want to be able to see from that to the top of that tower, which is about going to be like 60 feet above grade. So we just want to be in a place where if we were in a bucket truck 60 feet up, we can see as many houses as possible. That's
so we're on, this town is on a bit of a decline,
right.
So could you not do it closer to the mountain?
You could do it either way, where you put a really tall tower down by the freeway, and then with everybody, like amphitheater style,
right.
If you're 60 feet up, you theoretically can get everybody, or you can be up top and shoot down. I think it's more preferable, like I answered her question earlier, probably to be closer to the freeway so that we're not shooting stuff over by the base, because they may come back and tell us to take it down if we're interfering, or worse yet, if the signal is going to get interfered with by them. Right. So if we're talking away from them, it might be better.
Right.
Think about it. We're still figuring that out down in Sandy Valley. Thinking where
it's
going. Yeah. Maybe on your property.
Okay. Good. All right. I'm gonna go hang out in the hallway. I don't want to sidetrack any meeting or anything, but I know a couple other people might have some questions, so I'll hang out for a couple of minutes. If I get bored, I'm gonna leave. But thank you for letting us come, and we look forward to trying to figure out a way to switch.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
sir. All right, Creech.
Nick Rosario, 799 Third Base Group Deputy. The only real thing I had tonight, other than any questions you guys might have for me, is obviously you've seen some construction equipment taking place on the site of the old casino and mobile home park. We're in the process of building a parking lot. That's it. It's just a parking lot. The organizations that are in the buildings right in front of there need additional parking spaces, and that's all we're doing right now. no additional buildings or anything like that. It is just parking. So with that, I stand ready for any questions you might have. All right.
Thank you.
My contact info is on the sign-in sheet, so if at any time, if you ever have any questions, please don't hesitate to give me a call.
I do have one question before you leave. We have heard that there's going to be possibly another additional 800 airmen assigned to the base.
Yep.
This year, is that?
This year is a little optimistic, but the Air Force has, is it Mr. Harvey?
Yeah,
that's right. It's been a while.
It has.
No, yes, there is, the number is more like 600, but more to your point, we had several visitors this early January. The decision has been made to make Creech what is referred to as an enduring base. So the premise, if anybody was ever scared that we were going anywhere, that's not going to happen. Now, there are, for those of you who work at Creech, you might have heard, but hey, I heard about Shaw and I heard about Tyndall. Basically, like a mushroom, the 432nd Wing is splitting into two other organizations that are going to go somewhere else in the United States. However, that should not negatively impact Creech. The population and the number of people who are going to be at Creech will actually continue to increase. So we see a number of, in the neighborhood of about 4,000, please don't completely quote me on that, but that should be the active duty and government employee population of Creech for the foreseeable future. Right now we're closer to 3,400. But the old days of when you and I knew each other in the beginning, the days of, you know, the Air Force not making up its mind, those days are gone. Any other questions? All right. Thank you much.
Thank you.
All right. This is the time for public comment. Anyone has anything related to our jurisdiction?
Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Thank you. 620 Elon Lane.
Social Security number.
Yeah, shiny.
Just had a question. The mile markers coming from Indian Springs going into Vegas are really faded and hard to read, especially when you're on fire calls at 2 in the morning.
Well, I'm thinking you must not get my news.
I don't. Sorry.
NDOT is working on replacing them. But I will, and I did an article on my news that I'm just giving you a hard time.
Okay.
I will let them know that they need to step up doing this sooner.
Much appreciated.
Thank you,
Maggie.
Yeah.
Is there any way they can get that possibly make the mile mark number bigger? There. Atrocious.
Let me grab my newsletter out here, because there's a picture of what they're going to look like. Do you see it? In case you don't get my newsletter, clearly it has very good.
It's here and it's in the library every month.
I get your newsletter.
I will ask them to make this a priority. From here all the way to town? Okay.
Anybody else have anything?
This family dollar, is all this stemming on...
Holes in the ground.
But I mean, what's it called? Where the trucks come in, truck easement? Is it all stemming on that port coming?
Truck easement?
Truck stop. Flooding in.
What do you mean, what's holding it up? What's holding it up right now is flood issues and drainage issues. And as you all know, that's been a long problem there. It's been a problem for like since the 70s, 60s, 70s. So since we met last, the attorney for the developer of the casino came in to meet with Commissioner Brown and I, and they are definitely moving forward. Just because you don't see stuff happening doesn't mean it's not happening. They're doing their engineering studies and everything for the whole property. They are very committed to that property. They went through a lot to make this happen, so they're moving ahead. And they generously offered to work with the developer of the Family Dollar, since he's kind of a small potatoes guy. So we're going to put their engineers together to work the drainage issues together. So I just got an email from the Family Dollar developer today, and they have their engineer has gotten their plans ready to submit. So we're going to put those two together and make sure all that drainage works together. So better to wait and have a better situation there. But it is not stopped. It's just moving slowly because they inherited a really kind of bad situation.
Well, and the reason I ask is they sent the post office a letter wanting to use our truck easement and parking lot. It ain't gonna happen.
They may have contacted the post office. It's not government.
No, I mean they're the it's leased. It's not government
right,
property. We're leased it.
Right. But I think what they may have asked for was it's called a cross access easement, and it's something we encourage at the county, which means like if you go to Albertsons and you would go somewhere else within that shopping center, you don't have to drive back onto the road and back in. So what the county had asked them to do was contact the post office and see if there's a way that there could be a driveway in between those two, which sounds probably pretty silly when there's just two businesses right next door to each other.
No, then you don't have to go out to make
it. Right. So, but it's just a driveway in between the two. I'm thinking that's probably what it's about. It makes sense for circulation, for people going to stores, going in between stores. And if things were to develop a little bit more along that area or along other places, it really helps traffic flow so people don't have to drive out and back in. So I think that's probably what it's about. And just because it's government owned doesn't mean that can't happen. It's
well,
still
no,
commercial.
Just like, it's, but everything's fenced in for a reason.
For security
reasons.
Security
they don't
reasons.
Mean the back
right.
of it. They mean in the
what
front.
I'm talking,
the
what
they
I'm talking about
it
is in the
front. By the front, take out part of that wall where the Family Dollar is.
So you can drive
down from their parking lot to the post office
so
parking lot
out
without
parking
going on the front
spots.
Of the road.
Yeah.
Not
the
that.
Back
I'm
at
just
all.
Assuming.
For me to get to work.
Not the back at all. But that's what
no,
she's
I'm just
about.
Assuming that's what it's about.
Yeah.
But if you want to send me a copy of whatever they sent, I'd be happy to look at it. But that is a standard thing we ask for in commercial developments. And believe me, if you've ever pulled in like to gas station and thought you could get to the Costco or the grocery store or whatever, that's what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to keep things connected. So I think that's
well, because
probably
my
good idea.
Postmaster was freaking out too, so that's why I wanted to ask.
Well, not to freak out. Have them call me, and we'll talk about it. It's a standard thing, and they're not going to compromise anybody's security.
No.
Well, no, Family Dollar wouldn't. They are going to do that and come in and
that's
right. No. No, this developer, I don't think the actual developer came up, their engineer came. This developer's fantastic, and he's been reaching out. They've closed on the property, and they are actually, because it's taken so long, they are not nearly making the money they thought they were going to, and they're still committed to the project.
Oh,
so,
good.
Yeah, they're.
I mean, I want it. Anything to help this little town.
We're getting one in Sandy Valley, too, so
great. I know.
We still don't have a gas station.
All right. Where are we on the paving elsewhere?
Paving elsewhere?
Yeah, on the
other street.
The other street.
I
know you were going to be in the budget for.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
it was part of the budget request. I'm sorry.
So.
Yeah, that was part of the bigger budget request, and I'll find out where they prioritize those.
Okay.
Anybody else?
It's not on the agenda tonight, but I will talk to Mason. I mean, I know he's here. You guys can go talk to him in the hallway, but I'll get an update for next time.
Anybody else?
The fact that he's here, I think, says something.
Yeah.
Our next meeting is February 15th, 2018. Open to the
February 15th. Oh, nice.
Hey.